Blog Talk Radio.
Where's my music? Give me a chance. Come on! What happened? Anyway, it's the Recruiting Animal here on March 4th, 2009. And I want to start off by asking you something. I want to know if you hate know-it-alls. I do. You know those people? They read one article in the morning and all of a sudden they're the biggest experts in the world. Nobody likes them. And I think a lot of them are mentally ill. But isn't it funny, if you're a know-it-all and you can write or you can speak well, there's a special place for you in our society. You can be a journalist and you can get paid to spout off all your baloney on newspaper or in the TV. I saw some idiot writing in the Toronto Star last week. This is where I'm headed, by the way. He was going on about the midlife crisis. According to him, people didn't have them in the past because they weren't as self-centered as those nasty, rotten baby boomers. The guys who are taking all the hits these days. Here's what he said. He said, my father didn't leave his wife when he turned 50. My father didn't buy a motorcycle when he turned 50. My father didn't dye his hair when he turned 50. Well, gee whiz, pal, let me ask you this. How many people in the past lived as long as you're going to live today? If you're 50 years old today, you've got 30 good years ahead of you still. So what's wrong if you buy a motorcycle? The kids are gone. Hopefully the kids are gone. Maybe you want to have some fun, and maybe you deserve some fun, and you have to live with the same person for 50 years. Seriously, I know that's a sacred taboo, but it really isn't anymore. Is it always a good thing? And as for losing your hair or turning gray, is there something good about that that we're supposed to like? If you could do something about it, is that wrong? No! No, it isn't. This guy is a total dope. And if he didn't know how to write, he'd be living out on the street somewhere begging for quarters. But Animal, you're asking me, what does that have to do with recruiting? Well, I'm going to tell you. Right now, it's hard to place someone over 40. Someone over 40 thinks he's got a lot of experience and he's worth a lot more money than a junior person. But the hiring managers, they don't think he's worth more money. They figure this guy hasn't learned very much since he's 35, so why pay him more than you're paying someone who's a little more junior than that? Okay, fine, I understand. But listen to this. When the older candidate faces the facts and he decides to take a more junior position for less money, when he's realistic, nobody wants him then either, because now they say, hey, he's too senior. So let me ask you, isn't there a contradiction here? Yes, there is. And I think in the future, we're going to see middle-aged people as great hires. We're going to think they're good hires for junior and intermediate jobs. Because when a guy goes out and buys a new motorcycle and he gets a new wife or a woman gets a new husband and they dye their hair, they might want a new job as well. If you've been a draftsman for 25 years, maybe enough is enough. And you know what? You might be junior when you go into a new field, but you're still not a little kid. You're not a young kid anymore. You've been around the block. You know the score. You got more discipline. You know what it means to work. You know, I could go on and on about this stuff, but I won't, because we've got other things to do here today. There was lots of action. There was lots of action. Let me say it again. There was lots of action online. Papa John Sumser, my good friend, he said that the future of sourcing is death. And Becky Metcalf, she confessed, I was a bully to my candidate. And Susan Burns, as always, is promoting the virtues of the community manager. And it's all here today when the Recruiting Animal panel meets me, the Recruiting Animal, on the Recruiting Animal Show! Mama says knock you out. You know what? Something must be wrong. Not many people called in today. I don't know. Somebody put a note on Twitter because I only see two people here. But you know what? We don't need more than two people because only geniuses call into this show. They have a lot to say. Area code 314, who are you?
Hey, it's Becky.
Becky Metcalf. Oh, I guess we're going to have to talk about you first, Becky.
Uh-oh.
There's not many people here, but I see Jerry. Jerry Albright is here to save the day for you.
Hey,
hello,
how's it
Jerry.
Going? Hey. Hi, Becky.
Hey, Jerry. How's it going?
It's going great.
Yeah, it's going great. We're not interested, Jerry. Jerry is at verbalsummary.com. I should say that. Becky, how come there's no E at the end of your name?
Oh, on the Metcalf?
Yeah, that's your name, isn't it?
I guess you'd have to ask my husband.
Okay. Listen, do you have a website you want to tell everybody?
Gosh, no. Well, no, not really.
No, okay,
do I
good.
Have a website?
Not really. Not really means no. Okay, you know what, Becky? I got all kinds of stuff to talk about, but I'm going to talk about your stuff first. And if somebody else drops in later on and we got stuff to talk about, fine. I don't mind cutting the show short. Nobody's paying me to do it. You know, Becky, Jerry called me 5 minutes before the show went on. And you know what he told me? He said, doesn't matter. Nobody's listening to your show anyway. You want friends like that? No. Doesn't matter if you do the show. Doesn't matter if you post an announcement. Who cares? Okay. I get the message, Jerry. Now, Becky, are you with me?
I'm here.
Yeah, I like your picture, by the way. You know,
you look kind of coy.
You got your head, you know, turned away a little
sassy.
Bit.
Sassy.
Not quite sassy, but listen, here's Becky's problem. She wrote a sob story, I Was a Bully. What was that the title, Becky? I Was a Bully.
My name
recruiter.
Is Becky, and I'm a bully.
My name is Becky, and I'm a bully, so that's like you're in a 12-step bullying program. But here's what you were doing. I'm going to tell everybody in a short form. You just tell me if I'm right or wrong. Becky was closing the candidate at every step in the process, just like you're supposed to. She did a trial close. Now, the thing is, she says she was a little too tough. This is what I understand it to be. She says, I would push until I was sure they were 110% committed, or I would do a takeaway. And when the candidate didn't respond well to my pushback, I assume that means the takeaway, that was a red flag to me. And then you go on and say, I shudder to think how many solid candidates I screened out, not because they weren't committed to the opportunity. I would not use the word committed there. I would say interested. Not because they weren't interested in the opportunity, but because they wouldn't bend to my strong-arm techniques. And you didn't say that, but I put those words in there for you. Am I right? Do I represent you correctly?
That really pretty much sums it up.
That sums it up, Becky. Okay, well, what's wrong with that? Jerry, do you see anything wrong with that?
Jerry,
talk into the phone, will you? You've been on long enough.
Testing. There, can you hear me?
Come on.
Yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with closing. It's our job. But you got to be nice about it.
Okay, what does that mean? Becky, what did you do wrong? Tell us, will you?
Well, I got to tell you, I was young, and I was cocky, and
how much
I really
though?
Thought
how
I had
how many years ago was that? How many years ago?
It was when I first started. It was about 5 years ago. And for me, that means I was about 21.
You're telling us your age. Okay, you're a young woman.
Hey,
go on.
I'm not hiding anything.
You're Gen Y. We'll do the Gen Y test on you later on if we have nothing else to talk about. Go ahead. So what's the story there?
No, you know, I was really cocky and very arrogant, and I thought I knew it all, and, you know, I pretty much laid it out there, and I realized after this particular scenario had happened that maybe my method in the closing, and nothing changed about how persistent I was about closing and how important that was to my process, just more the way that I was actually I guess, doing that with my candidates instead of railroading.
No, hold on, Becky. Let me learn the rules here. When I interrupt you, there's a reason for it. You stop talking, okay? Now, look, Becky. You said what happened, the way you found out was somebody came back. It sounds like you were placing people on contract. Someone
right.
came back to your boss with some fancy title I couldn't figure out. Customer service consultant or something like that?
Liaison, just somebody to handle them.
Yeah, anyway, they came back and they said, you know what, I like working with this company, but not with that woman. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
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 And yeah, it wasn't Bill Clinton either. So, but they came back and said that, and you said, how could someone say that about me? I'm a very nice person. But my guess is that if you were able to be that tough when you were only 21 years old, you're a pretty tough cookie to begin with. Am I right?
I hope so. I hope so.
Yes, you are. You have an aggressive personality. What do you like, Becky?
Gosh, well, I don't know. I think I changed a little bit. I'm not as aggressive as I used to be.
Okay,
or I guess
Becky,
I'm just not as in your face.
Okay, so just tell us in very concrete terms what you were doing before. Give us a real example and how you do it now that's differently.
You got to understand, we're not talking about the questions that I ask. The questions are the same. You know,
yeah.
I like to line it out.
Give us some of the questions.
Kind of
Come on. We're going to
okay,
talk
well,
about
trying.
Something real.
I'm trying. I would ask a candidate when they had an interview when I was debriefing, you know, when the manager comes back and says to me, I'd like to hire this candidate, can I accept on your behalf? A real simple question. It's a real telling question. If they answer yes, we're in really good shape. If they answer a little hesitantly, we've got some problems to work out. It's not the questions that changed. It's the way I asked and the way I pushed and the way I took it when there was pushback from the candidate or when I pushed back and they didn't react.
Hold on. Look, Becky, you're a bit verbose. Don't feel bad about it. I'm going to be cutting you short. But I see a problem. I see a problem with that very question. Here's the reason. It's sort of, I mean, you know, if the guy really wants the job or the woman wants the job, it sounds like it should be no problem if you accept the position for him. However, I don't like someone else doing stuff for me. It takes away my power. I mean, I find that a bad question, first of all, okay?
Okay.
But, Jerry, would you agree with me, yes or no?
I don't like the question.
Yeah, okay. But, so there...
I'm agreeing with you. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Am I supposed to... I should have said yes, I agree.
So, Becky, so what was wrong, though, with you were doing it? Did you put your face up close to his when you said it, or what's the story?
I don't know. I think that when I asked the question and got feedback that wasn't what I was looking for, I'd dive in, and probably I was a little more accusatory than I needed to be.
Accusatory? What does that mean?
Yeah, you know, you told me that this was, something you were really interested in, and you told me that these were your motivating factors and what's changed, and those are good questions. Those are not bad questions to ask. But it was the fashion in which I asked them. They were not, I wasn't nice about it.
No, tell us. Just act it out now. Come on.
No,
I
we're not doing it.
Becky, come on, you called in. I'm making you the star. Please.
Becky sounds like a very good recruiter here, Animal. Why are you giving her a hard time?
I'm not. She won't cooperate. Just act it out.
Are you saying that you don't close people?
I want to know how she did it so we know what was wrong with it. Just act it out, Becky. Don't bug me, Jerry.
I got to tell you, Amal, I was, it was a long time ago. I'm not really sure how I
don't do it that way anymore.
You're only 26
years old. It can't be a long time ago.
I don't do it that way anymore. It's different now.
I want to hear, my
imagination. It's not my method anymore.
In my imagination, you had a real stony face. You leaned over the table, so you're a little closer and more aggressive. And you say, listen, John, you told me, and you run through a list. You would take it for this. You told me you would take it for that. You told me you would take this kind of money. You told me you didn't want this kind of job. What's going on? What changed? And you use that very insistent, aggressive tone, and you give them the eye at the same time. Is that what you did, Becky?
Look, Animal, you told me that when I got you this interview that you were interested in the position. You told me X, Y, Z were important to you. I went in, and I vouched for you. I told the manager that you were interested in this role. You are now coming back and telling me that there's something wrong here. We need to talk about what that is.
Beautiful, Becky. Oh, thank you. We understand now. You pointed the finger at the guy, and you played the victim. Am I right?
Accusatory, yes.
Yeah.
So how
it.
Do you do it now? How do you do it now? Because those, you know, the actual content of what you're saying, you're right, it wasn't bad.
No, you know, nowadays it's a little bit different because when I'm, you know, I'm on the corporate side now, so it's completely different. But when I was working on the agency side and I was placing consultants, it was more about that partnership and that relationship that I was building with them. I started out in the process building that so that when the time came to ask those questions, we had a lot more open communication going. That's really more the method these days.
What does that mean? Come on, let me just say hi to 111. Who's 111? Someone who's called in and I haven't addressed yet. Do you want to say hi?
Michael?
Yes?
It's me.
Vin Diesel Levy?
It could very well be, yes.
Hey, Steve. Okay, your big thing is going to be the death of sourcing, I think, when we get to that in a minute.
Mine will be?
Yeah, do you have any comments? Do I have the time? Do you want to have any comments for Becky right now? I like it that Becky called in and she's telling us something that I think is important. Do you have a comment for her?
I'm going to listen a little bit more because I finally just called in about 60 seconds ago.
Okay, you don't know what she's talking about.
I have no idea what
I'm saying. Animal.
Go ahead.
I have a comment on
Jerry,
what she said.
Jerry!
What I felt there was a recruiter telling me that they're losing out.
Yeah.
And so I got more of a sense that Becky was upset because she wasn't going to be making a sale and was kind of pissed.
Yeah.
When it really has to be about, hey, obviously we missed something. What is it? What do we need to find in the next position? Or, you know, what didn't you get to find out about? I mean, instead of the recruiter sounding like they're losing something, you need to put yourself in the person's shoes and just try to understand what was wrong about the job.
It's about
you're giving up too fast, Jerry. Becky doesn't give up anymore. She just handles it differently. Now, Becky, you said you changed your approach.
No, I'm not giving up. I'm just not going to, you know, make it seem like, hey, you told me you were going to take this job, and now you're not.
Yeah, okay. Well, everybody's, you know, the people are turning off because we're discussing the same thing again and again now. Becky, now you said you changed your approach from the start, not just at the end. What did you change? How did you build open communication? What does that mean?
You know, it's about asking all the right questions throughout the process and just not doubling down at the end and, you know, getting heavy-handed when things are starting to close. I mean, you've got to be asking those questions all the time. You have to ask
You were asking the question. You said you closed every step of the way.
Right.
You said you called it locking the candidate down.
Yeah, you do it throughout the process. Now, we're just doing that in a different fashion. I'm caring about the candidate and what their needs are in this situation.
Uh-huh.
I'm not trying to just make that sale. That really is the difference. Jerry, you know, kind of nailed the caught the nail on the head there. That's really what we're talking about is just, you know, being in more partnership with that candidate rather than just, you know, being his pusher.
Now, listen, when somebody gets that far and they decide to back out, why would they be doing that? Is your nice approach ever working for you? Do you get turn people around? Do you have success with your new sweeter, Becky?
You know, I have to tell you that I don't really see that very often there at that point anymore. Usually I've screened that out, and we've come to a decision on, you know, any issues have been addressed before then, which
what
is the point.
What does that mean? That sounds like you were doing it before anyway. Like,
well, you know, I have to assume that I've improved over the years, you know,
okay, what are you
in
doing?
That process.
Well, so now when the person says, I need $60,000 minimum to take the job, what do you do differently about that along the way?
Well, gosh, you know, maybe I don't send them in for that $58,000 a year flat rate position that I know is not going any higher than that. You know, if he's told me that, maybe I'm going to respect his wishes more.
You know what? I don't want to go on too much longer with this. Steve Levy, you want to say something? Go ahead.
No, actually, I'm looking at other screen.
Okay, area code 860. You want to say hi to Becky? No. Okay.
Hi, this is 860. Becky, how you doing?
Hey.
Who is it?
Sorry, animal. It's me. I changed my voice.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, 860 just wants to sit there, Becky. Don't worry about it.
Much.
Becky,
I'm
very
sorry,
happy
Jerry.
You called in. I'm just going to change the subject a bit because you're starting to lose us. Now, listen, the thing is, one thing about being a recruiter, if you're a candidate, you can't trust what a recruiter tells you because a recruiter has a conflict of interest. And you demonstrated it very well. You wanted the guy to take that job because your money was on the line. You put yourself out, and he said, go ahead and do it for me. I'm interested in that job. Then he wants to back out. He is screwing you. I believe it. And the thing is, you have to handle it, however, in a nice way because it's his life at stake here, not yours. But you know, with Stephen Levitt wrote that book, Freakonomics, a few years ago, and he showed that apparently real estate agents, they keep their own homes on the market longer than they advise their clients to do so because they want to close the client's deals. So even if the offer isn't what the client wants, they say, you better take it now. But their own homes, they leave them on the market until they get the price they want. It's the same for a recruiter. We've got an interest. You can't trust what a recruiter tells you. However, what you're specifically doing here is not telling the candidate that this job is the greatest thing in the world for him. You were just finding out what he wanted, and when you found a job for him or her that met those specs, you expected him to move ahead, right? You were a bit rude about it, but it sounds like you were doing the right thing. Now, I've worked with recruiters, and they say they don't hesitate to tell the candidate, this is a great job, you have to take it, it's fantastic for you. And I said, how do you know that this job is good for this person? And he would say, you know what? He said, I've been in the business a long time. I have a feel for this thing. This guy's sitting in his office. I know what's good for him better than he does. That's not always true. So that's a different kind of recruiter arrogance and recruiter bullying than you were practicing. Am I right?
Sure. Absolutely, but I got to tell you that one other thing that I really got worried about after the situation was how many people did I talk out of a position because I was not paying attention to what their needs were.
Becky, have you gone back and spoken to some of these people and asked them this question?
Is that part of her 12-step program? I'm sorry, you know, you go back and apologize?
No, that's part of the 12-step financial program, because if you can find a way to make money out of them later by resurrecting the relationship, heck. Wonderful.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, anyway, right, you know me.
Jason Davis, you want to say something before I move on? J.D. Jason Davis, he's here. Doesn't want to say hi. Fine. I don't care.
Yeah, slouch. He's sitting there talking to his press agent right around now.
Oh, hold on.
So.
You know, I got this stupid Skype is opening on my computer. Okay, I'm going to go to the next topic. Anybody want to talk about this anymore? Becky, anything else to say?
I'm good.
Okay, but you can comment on the next one too, Becky. You don't have to ask to speak, just speak up, okay?
Okay.
Becky, okay.
Well,
so,
what's with the beeping?
I don't know. There's something lousy going on here. At first I thought it was my Skype. I got to tell you, the screen's going in and out. There's all kinds of weird things happening. Okay?
Becky, just one more thought on that, though. I would much rather work with a recruiter who's over-closing and needs to tone it down than the person who doesn't want to ask a tough question, because that person will never make a good recruiter.
Go on a bit about that, Jerry. Jerry asks tough questions.
No, I think Steve agrees with me. Will you explain what I just said, Steve?
Well, yeah, up to a point, Jerry. You know, there are so many. Gosh, there's so many levels of
to
answer this.
Okay, you guys aren't talking about anything. The guy was going to say something worthwhile, and now you're talking about levels. Forget it. We're going on to the death of sourcing. My good friend, Papa John Sumser, the grandfather of the recruitosphere, he wrote on recruitingblogs.com this week. He said, right now, you have to be a Boolean black belt to do sourcing online. You know, that's Glenn Cathy he's referring to there.
Of
Boolean
course
black
he is.
Belt.
Yeah.
He said, but Papa says, this situation will not last. The data miners of today are the burger flippers of tomorrow. He said, sourcing is a dead-end occupation with very little in the way of transferable skills. So the next generation of recruiting, it's not about finding people, he said. It's about intimacy. Intimacy. This is what he says. Finding people is easy. Building a relationship. In fact, he said building an enduring relationship is hard. And he said the sourcing luminaries of today, I wonder where Maureen is, it's directed at her, the sourcing luminaries of today, or maybe Shally, Elvis Steckerl, the sourcing luminaries of today better start learning how to use a French fry machine. They're not going to have jobs. And here is John's recipe for success. Jerry, I don't know if you read this, but you're going to love it. Join an online community. be a productive member of an online community, develop community management skills. Oh, please. I have to tell you, I'll just go on a bit more before I open the floor. John Sumser's a smart guy. I like him, but he's never been a recruiter. And I challenged him in the comments to do some searches with me. Let him find all these people online. They're not there. Maureen Sherub, she's got a job to do. Telephone sourcers have an important job to do. And I've made some other notes here, but I want to open the floor. Steve Levy, I think you called in for this. I think Maureen is here now, too. Steve, you go first. Do you have anything to say?
I believe Steve just hung up.
Okay. Maureen.
What do you want me to say? I just got
the queen bee of telephone sourcing. You had, are you learning how to work at McDonald's like he told you to?
Yeah. I got all my applications in all over town.
John Sumser is not a recruiter.
Is John Sumser here?
He doesn't know what it's like on the ground.
Is he here?
No.
Oh.
Nobody's here. People didn't call in today.
Vicky, I saw a note that it was canceled for today earlier.
Oh,
yeah.
It wasn't canceled. It wasn't canceled.
It was canceled.
That's what it said.
Last week, the sign was still up there. I thought recruitingblogs.com circulates the information.
It said March 4th.
I didn't go back and change it.
It said March 4th right on there. Well,
yeah, okay, let's talk about
the
topic. Let's talk about the topic.
Okay.
Do you want me to go on?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll go on. You guys don't have anything to say. Spencer Johnson.
I'll say something.
Go ahead.
We're always going to need sourcing in some fashion or another.
Thank God.
Yeah, okay. Do you have something to back up a statement like that, Jerry? Don't just waste our time by spouting off.
Look,
well,
when this bloodbath is over, only the strong will survive, guys like Jerry.
Okay,
and
listen,
there,
I'm gonna add some real content, okay?
Okay,
Spencer
and you, and you, Animal, you're going to survive. And you guys
Johnson,
are going to be
Spencer
too
Johnson,
busy.
Let me talk, Maureen.
I'm
let
busy right now.
Spencer Johnson, okay? I don't know this guy. He's got an interesting name. But here's what he said to John. He said, listen, John, not every CEO, or not every candidate, rather, is a CEO with a rap sheet a mile long online. And that's absolutely true. You can't find everybody. The Chiefs are there, but the Indians aren't. That's my claim. And the second thing he says, there's a lot of HR departments where the monthly workload, Becky, you listen to this, the monthly workload for new hires can go over 30 people. You don't have time to, you know, set up interviews, prepare the candidates, prepare the hiring managers, debrief everybody, negotiate offers, handle all the last-minute glitches. You got to hire some outside help to go and put a list of people together, a target list. Okay? Pam Clawton, she said the same thing. I've been a corporate recruiter. When you have 30 requisitions, you don't have time to source and recruit as much as you want to. That's why there's always going to be a need for the third-party recruiter and sourcer. We have the time to tap in to all the different resources. Her point is, it doesn't matter how many resources are out there online. You don't have time to use them. You got to hire someone to help you. Now, there, she closed off by saying 10 years ago, everyone was saying the job boards would make recruiters obsolete. It's not true, she says, but there's always something to go on about. Now, Becky, still with me?
I'm here.
You're on the inside now. You're an internal recruiter, right?
That's right.
Is that true? Are you busy? It's a special time now, maybe. But generally speaking, I've read that internal recruiters can have 30 or 40 requisitions on their desk.
Sure. Well, I work in a small company. We've only got about 600 people worldwide, so it's a little bit different here in terms of our growth rate. But, yeah, I would say absolutely that a corporate recruiter could have that kind of workload.
Okay. And so do they need help, or can they handle everything themselves?
I don't know how they would do that with those kind of numbers.
Okay.
It's too much.
So you're saying John is wrong. Am I right?
I guess so, yeah.
I don't
John
think you're allowed to
You've
say that, people.
You've committed. John is wrong. Maureen, you're saying John is wrong, right?
Yes.
Yes. Jerry?
I can't go on record. I can't go on record as saying John is wrong. You get me?
Jerry,
it took a lot of nerve, Jerry, for me
John,
to say
John.
Yes. You heard me hesitate. Go on.
Okay.
Spit it out.
Area code 6860. Do you want to speak up now?
No, I'm not ready, but I'll let you know when I am.
You're there?
Yeah.
There's something. Somebody
leave her
there.
Alone.
Okay.
She wants to be left alone.
Katie,
I'm here.
Jason
I'm
Davis.
I'm just taking all this in.
Hey,
Michael.
Oh, you know who that is? I'll bet
I'm
you.
Here,
I might
Mike.
Be wrong, but that might be Heather. She can't say anything about it. Okay. Area code
Mike.
416. She'll never get away from it, you know. The area code 416. That's Jason
Davis. It's me.
Davis. Yeah. Is John right or wrong?
About
yes or
about
no?
the sourcing dead?
Yeah.
Well, I think that it's hard to call somebody if you haven't sourced them. So, yeah, I'm not sure if
sourcing
is dead.
Well, you're
an answer,
to be a
Jason.
Smart guy.
That's
supposed
an unanswer.
To be a smart
That's a
guy,
cop
Jason.
Out.
That was the dumbest thing.
What do you mean?
What do I? Okay, forget it.
That was an
okay.
unanswer.
That
well,
was an unanswer.
Listen,
yeah.
there's always going to be industry for people to do things that other people don't want to do, right? So. If a company knows that they can go about getting 10,000 names, but they don't want to do it, there's going to be someone who will source those names for them. So
yeah,
I don't know, you know.
Yeah, you don't know. You didn't read the article. You just like hosting them. You know what? Jerry.
He reads everything, animal.
Listen, Maureen, Jerry, he's a guy who's always going on about how's all this community, online community stuff helping us as recruiters. Now he's got an opportunity to slam John for saying you don't have to do sourcing. You just have to have an online community. And he shuts up.
Listen, you want me to call him? You want me to get John on the line?
A 26-year-old girl has more guts than you. She came out and made a clear statement. Okay, now I'm going to move over to my good friend Susan Burns. Susie Burns, the top talent girl, okay? She had a, I can't even remember, was that you who were the special guest last week, Jerry? Yes, it was. And she was on there again, hawking her idea about community management. The community manager is the recruiter of the future. You know what? I like that idea. It sounds good. I was in Susan's tutorial here in Toronto at Recruit Fest in September. Does anybody mind if I speak a little about this? Anyway, she was going on about community managers, and it sounded so wonderful, and Dennis Smith was there. The guy's already set up a community, wirelessjobs.com, and when she said community manager, he said, hallelujah, that's for me. Now, the guy lost his job, unfortunately. There's been a big layoff in his sector, the wireless sector. He's a manager of a huge network on wirelessjobs.com, and he can't find a job no matter how many people he knows. So, you know, I asked Susan, what does that say about being a community manager? And she said to me, well, looking for a job is different from recruiting people for one. She's got a point, but you know what? I was chastened by the experience of my good friend Dennis Smith. Because everybody likes him. Everybody wants to help the guy. And having a community didn't help him at all. Now, I interviewed a guy on this show. Anybody can speak up if they want to, but you guys aren't talkative today.
I'll say something, Jason.
Go ahead.
Who can get a word in edgewise, animal?
He talks too much.
Hey,
go
Jason,
ahead.
Jason is, in my opinion, a premier community manager.
So
let's
ask
him
how many placements he's making.
You're sucking up to everybody.
No, let's ask Jason how many placements he's making. That's all.
I don't make placements. I miss it, and I want to, but I'm not right now making placements.
So as a community manager, you're too busy to make placements.
Well, yeah, I mean to run this the way I want it run and the way I think it works.
He's not a recruiter anymore, Jerry. That's not a fair question. It's a fair question. So he's not a recruiter. He's not a recruiter, okay?
But being a community manager keeps him too busy to be a recruiter. That's what I'm saying, man.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike.
You got a point, Jerry, because that's what Pam Clawton said, and that's what Becky just said. Becky, are you still here?
I'm here.
Back me up, will ya?
Wait, I've never said hello to Becky. Becky, hello.
Hello.
It's Jason. Nice to meet you finally.
Jason, me too.
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
now,
Emma, what do you want from me?
What Pam Clawton said was that these people are too busy. Jerry's right. How can they be community managers and do their sourcing? But I have another point. We got a guy who comes on the show every now and again, Kevin Kermesh. He calls himself Kermes, but it's really Kermesh, okay? I'm telling you how to say his name. Now, he told us he specializes in sales, software salespeople, and he has a niche, and he sees himself as a cop who walks the beat. So he knows everybody in the neighborhood. So he has regular contact with the same people over and over again. He calls them up to see if they're interested in positions. He calls them up to see if he knows somebody. That's what being a community manager is. And I remember the first time I met JD, I don't know, 4.5 years ago or something like that, he told me about, you know, having a talent pool. That's a really important thing. A talent pool, it's the same thing as a community. That's what they're all talking about. Nothing else.
Talent pool is not a community.
Yes, it is.
I've got a giant talent pool, and it is not a community. None of those people even know each other, probably, other than maybe
they know
if
you.
They work at the same company.
They know you.
Yeah, they know me, but it has that. That doesn't. That.
But you choose not to make them a community. You could if you wanted to.
Why would you?
Well, yeah. Why?
Why would you?
Why would I?
Does it benefit you? Does it benefit them?
I need more medication.
Okay, now I'll tell you something. We talked about this. I didn't think Recruit Fest was that stimulating, but at least I think it was worthwhile because we had the opportunity to discuss stuff in real time in front of an audience with witnesses. Dennis gave a talk. Dennis Smith gave a talk there on Saturday morning about having a big network and managing a community. And I said to him then and there, I've told this story before, David Perry, the super recruiter, was sitting right beside me. I said, they just wrote a big article about him in the Wall Street Journal, and they published it in the Globe and Mail as well, even a longer version. Everybody was really impressed. He goes to such extreme lengths to contact, to discover and contact people. Is he going to put those guys on a community for other recruiters to be able to access them easily? No. I said, what's the logic of putting all your candidates up there in a community? Now, someone like John might say, well, hey, you're going to meet those people anyway. I mean, everybody's so easy to find. Let them be part of your community.
Let everybody suck your breast
or whatever metaphor you'd like to use. But I don't see it that way. I see those people are deep. They're buried deep in organizations. You need somebody, a data miner, a real live data miner like Maureen, to go in there and find those people. Now, I ought to be hearing a round of applause at this point, you know?
Agreed.
Hooray.
All right, we got it.
Becky.
Did you put that up for
Becky
in anticipation of some great
Becky
event? Animal?
Yes.
Okay. Listen, Becky, you still with me?
Yes.
Okay, my regular, you know, panelists, they're selling me short today. Do you have anything there to support me? You want to say something interesting?
Yeah, I told you before I came on that I didn't have much to say.
Well, you did have a lot to say, Becky. I'm praising you. I'm giving you a chance. Don't complain to me. Don't tell me it's my fault.
All I have to say is that if my hiring managers heard that, you know, people were so readily available, I'd probably be in some trouble.
Good for you, Becky. You got the good one-liners. Okay. You know what? I got another question. I've covered most of the things, but, you know, there was someone, there's a woman online on Twitter. I managed to get in fights with these other recruiters on Twitter. I don't know how. Her name is Dina Harding. Dina Harding, and she's up in Maine, although I don't think up in Maine it counts for me here. She's down in Maine or something like that. Anyway, she put up a posting on Twitter that said the absence of a cover letter likely puts you in the rejected pile, and inclusion of one could keep you on top of the short list. It's total nonsense. Does anybody want to talk about that?
I'll talk about that.
Okay. Hold on one second. I've got that topic I want to cover, but I've also got a shorter topic about tight shirts. Maybe I want to talk about that one first. Becky, can you hold on one sec?
Uh-huh.
Maybe you'll have something to say about both. Okay. We did a show about gender at work recently, and there was one thing we had a long section on crying. Jerry handled that. But there was something I wanted to talk about. that I didn't get to discuss. And here it is. Forgive me if you're offended, everybody.
Oh, the
Jerry
pervert
told me nobody's,
section.
Jerry told me nobody's listening, so I don't have to worry about that.
Oh, there's a few of us here now, I guess.
In the last few years, I noticed that women have taken to wearing really tight shirts, and even more recently, showing a little cleavage as well. And last night I was watching the Buffalo Evening News. We get all their stations here. And they had a woman introducing a segment on the education of little children. She was very nice looking, and she was wearing a really tight shirt. My eyes popped out, I have to tell you. Now, what's that about? Is that the liberation of female sexuality, or is that an attempt to curry favor with the tastes of the dominant males? Maureen, I'm going to give that to you first.
Is it intentional on her part? Is that what you're saying?
It's
or on the media?
Of course it was intentional. But why is she doing it? Is she just saying, I'm a free woman, I want to show my body, and I have the right to do so, which I agree with? Or is she saying, I want all the guys to look at me?
It's the TNA that the media encourages.
Okay.
That's what
that
is.
Professional? Is that professional? And it's not just in the media. Becky, I'm moving on to you. You're
personally,
a woman as well.
I don't think it's professional, but let's go to Becky. She's a lot younger than I am.
Let's go to Becky.
Well, I was just going to ask, it sounds like this is a new thing. Is this really new?
No. It's not real new. It's not real new, but it's since the 90s, I would say.
Okay, well, that would
shirts.
Explain why that's kind of been, you know, what I've seen in the professional world.
Yeah, you've
I've
never
been,
seen anything else. Okay, yeah. You know, Becky, so let me ask you, just like if you watch a police show, all the women are very shapely and they wear very tight T-shirts, okay? So I've never seen a police woman like that on the street. Is that a bad influence on you?
Gosh, what on TV is not a bad influence on me?
Oh,
good
okay.
point. Well, they say Michelle Obama is encouraging women to work out because she has shapely arms.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah, what about Madonna's had shapely arms for a long time? Okay, so nobody's got much to say about whether it's a positive or a negative.
I believe it's a positive.
Well,
you think it's positive, Jerry?
Women being beautiful?
No, free about their bodies, as Animal puts it.
Hey.
Putting them on display in the workplace, to be more blunt.
That's it.
Have at it.
Okay. Okay, so, Becky, we're coming back to the cover letters. You know, Dina said they're very important.
Are they dropping
like
flies now?
I say, well, nobody's interested. Nobody's saying anything intelligent. I have an audience here, Maureen. You're just calling in. I got to keep my audience alive. Jerry says I don't have an audience. Maybe it's true, but
no,
I
only said he didn't have an audience because an hour and a half ago, you sent out a bulletin that says no show today.
I didn't send anything out. I did it.
Funny
how Jerry's right.
Maureen and I both got that message, so I just said nobody knows there's a show.
I just got a message from my good friend Sally Oahu. I have to assume she's Hawaiian. Maybe I'm making a mistake, because I think Maha Okiki is Hawaiian as well, and she keeps telling me she's not. Come on,
make it March.
Anyway, she's telling me that this is a good show. Don't worry about what Jerry said. She didn't put it that way, but that's
are we
the
done
way
with
I
sourcing
think.
Is dead? I want to go back to that.
No, I've given Becky her time in the sun. Okay, now Becky, what were you going to say about cover letters?
Well, I think that this is probably a lot different depending upon which side of the house you're on. If you're an agency recruiter, I can't imagine what use a cover letter would be to you. On
yeah, well, if you're a corporate recruiter and you've got 30 recs and you're getting a big feed of these resumes coming in from job boards or wherever, who's got time to look at it?
Well, I mean, you got to look at the resume anyway. What's the cover letter to look at? Sometimes if there's a cover letter included, it can give me a yay or nay kind of response on a
you know
on
what, Becky?
Right
I'm
going to
tell you, the only kind of cover letter that's worthwhile is one that's in bullet points because then you can scan it very quickly. But that's not how people write their cover letters.
I don't disagree with you there. Maybe they should.
Go ahead. Disagree with me. What are you saying? What are you disagreeing?
No. Actually, I did agree with you. No, I agree. You know, it should be very concise. I'd love it if everybody would write me a real quick summary of, you know, bullet points would be great of why they actually fit that job. I looked at 80 resumes yesterday that weren't even qualified for a position that I've got open right now. But if they'd included that, it would have saved me a little time.
I have a question.
How many of those 80 resumes had cover letters on them?
Probably about 12.
That's
to
all?
15, maybe? Yeah, not
oh,
very
okay.
many.
Okay. Well, I once had a look at the same number, about 80 resumes in a day on a search for a project manager. If one of them would have put, I have 5 years project management with the date on the top of the resume or something like that, I would have really appreciated it because there was a lot of stuff in this job order that I really hadn't had any experience with before. And if they would have shown me where their specific experience matched the requirements of the job, I would have been happy. But they don't do that. Those cover letters, one of the articles that Dina Harding pointed me to, this guy Tony Baldarassa over at Career Builder, he argued that a cover letter, I think he quoted somebody else, an expert, he said a cover letter gives you a chance to show your writing skills. No, it gives you a chance to show everybody how stupid you are, how poorly you write, and that you don't know what's important. Because what you have to have is a list on one side, what you've done on the other side, matching them directly, the requirements of the job. I don't want to hear that you're results-oriented, that you're time-sensitive, whatever, heads-down worker. That doesn't mean anything
objective.
To me. What?
That's the same stuff people put in their objective anyway, or their career
yeah.
summary at the top. It's all the same. I mean,
yeah.
but I'm okay with a cover letter. I don't have to have one. I'll check one out. Some are neat. Some suck.
Do you take the time to read them?
Yeah, of course. What kind of professional would I be if I disregarded somebody's communication to me about a job?
Do you get 80 resumes for one position at once? You don't. Not in your business,
no.
right?
Okay, no,
so
no, I'm not posting stuff.
You got time to sit there reading the cover letter, looking out at the forest in your backyard, watching the deer go by. Not everybody like Becky and me have the time to do that.
You could.
No, I can't. I can't. I got to tell you something. Someone sent me a cover letter yesterday. Someone who's living just moved to Toronto from overseas. A person has a good background, but number one, they don't know the Canadian idiom. They say, I am having this much experience rather than I have this much experience. Obviously, the more they write, the less they're proving themselves to be suited for a position here in Toronto. That's my experience. And I wrote the person. I said, look, you're going to have problems showing people that you've got Canadian experience or that you can assimilate quickly into a Canadian environment. There's a lot of bias about that. I said, when you write a cover letter, you better make sure that it's grammatically like we talk. Otherwise, it's just going to reinforce the impression that you don't fit in. And that's my experience. Very few people write very well. So they're better off not writing a cover letter. The less they have to say, the better. And then when they write the cover letters, they're nonsense.
But you're going to find out who the person is sooner or later. So how about finding out sooner?
You know what? I have a good friend. He came here from India about 30 years ago, okay? He's a smart guy, and he speaks English very well. Last year, he sent me a cover letter to vet for him, to read for him before he sent it out for a job. I was shocked. This guy has never had to – he speaks every day in English, and he spoke English before he came here, but he never had to write a cover letter.
Amazing.
I had to send it back to him and say, you know, this is garbage, and he was mad at me. He didn't talk to me for a year, but there were other reasons involved as well. Okay, Maureen, I'm going to give you a chance. You want to talk about the death of sourcing again? You could.
I do
want
to talk about it, but
chance.
Since you brought up cover letters, something else came to mind. I read something today over on Brazen Careerist that was written by Elisa Ortiz. Did anybody see it or put it up on?
I don't know her.
I
never heard of her.
Okay,
22?
What she says, and this is what I would like to introduce. I know it's not on the plate today, but she says she's concerned with an elitist attitude toward education in the nonprofit sector.
Oh, God.
Okay, stop. Let me finish. She says that the first two things a potential employer looks at on an applicant's resume is where the applicant currently works and where they went to college. According to this recruiter, there's a natural instinct for people to look for others who may have grown up near them, blah, blah, blah. My question is what happens if that applicant does not have a college listed or when he or she attended a college that is not prestigious? Does their resume automatically get thrown in the poop can?
You know what, Maureen? Thank you for taking that wordy introduction, but I'm going to agree with you, and I talk to other people about it, especially if you're a salesman. What do you need an education for? It's all personality, unless you're like Peggy, and Peggy sells market salespeople for medical instruments. unless you're like her, you don't have to know that much about the field. And even Peggy said, Peggy, at Sales Recruiter on Twitter, phcconsulting.com, Peggy said that the people she hires, they don't have to have technical background. They just have to have somebody in the office like her to have a technical background.
We're not talking about hiring recruiters, though, are we?
Yeah, but that's a salesperson, the same thing. They don't have to have – they just have to have someone to tell them stuff. They don't need to be –
What's funny about that, Maureen?
Maureen just laughs at my jokes. Is there anything wrong with that? She adds a little atmosphere.
Yeah?
Okay.
Okay, Becky.
Thank you for asking that question, though, Jerry.
Yep. Becky.
And Animal, thank you for clarifying.
Well
guys,
I'm
going to have to cut my visit short today.
Okay, go on. You got 10 minutes. Go up.
I got to go. I love you all.
Jerry,
go
don't
on.
Be offended.
You know, no, I'm not. No, I just got to run. My son needs
gotta,
to
he's gotta
go
feed
down.
A horse. He's got to see a man about a horse. Okay.
I've got to feed a horse.
Yeah, okay.
Well, there
all
you
right,
go.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Jerry.
Bye, Jerry.
I think he was offended. What do you think, Animal?
Offended about what? Hey, how
who
much
knows?
Time do I have left? It says it's 10 minutes left, but it says
minutes.
22 minutes.
10
it
minutes
says, there's something wrong with the system today. Okay, what was I talking about? I wanted to address
education.
An issue.
Education.
Yeah, you know what? I was talking to Jim Durbin, sales. What's his social marketing, social media recruiter? Isn't that socialmediaheadhunter.com? And he told me, he said he thinks it's going to really, the education situation is really going to change. They don't need to be sending so many people to university. Send them to a community college for 2 years, get some, you know, basic vocational or technical information, and they don't have to be really well educated. I'm with Miss Juarez or whatever. What was her name?
Ortez, Miss Ortez.
Miss Ortez, okay.
Mm-hmm. You're
anybody,
her.
Becky, do you have an opinion on that?
You know, I'm not, I've never worked with a situation where we'd required an education beyond high school, I guess, so.
Really?
No.
What do you do, Becky?
What do I do? I recruit, mostly salespeople in my position right now. So.
Well, what kind of sales?
Software, usually technology-based.
And they don't have to have any education to do that?
No. I mean, education is great. We love a degree, but it's not a requirement, and it's usually kind of a side note.
Really? So you guys train people yourselves in the software? I mean, I'm not a techie. I actually have a university education, as does Maureen. You mean, we could go out, even in spite of not being technically educated, you could train us to sell software?
Yeah. I mean, we've got a training program. The program that we've got is, you know, great. Our technology software basis is solid. The company that I work for is a really strong technology firm, so we do have those types of resources, I guess.
What's
but somebody coming out of
thing?
A college education doesn't necessarily have the skills to do. I mean, I could not pull somebody out directly out of college to do what we do and have them do it any better than somebody who's got, you know, 3 years sales experience.
I think sales is a personality issue.
Let me ask Becky something.
Can I go ahead.
Something, Becky, what's the most important thing in a salesperson?
Oh, that's a good question.
What attribute?
It's really a combination. Really, what I look for in a salesperson is going to be a combination of culture fit and, which is really about integrity for us, and attitude. I think are the two things that I really look for, which are very,
louder,
very
louder, louder, Becky, louder, louder.
They're very vague, but that's what I look for. Did you hear that?
What kind of an attitude are you looking for?
I'm looking for somebody who's honest and really does have, a sales-oriented aggressiveness to them that's not overly cocky, kind of what we were talking about earlier, Animal. Not
like
me
you.
When I first – exactly, not me.
Okay, you know what? Jerry said he was impressed with you even in your dark side version, and I'm impressed that you were able to become less obnoxious, okay?
Thank you. Thanks.
Becky, so you don't think of yourself as a salesperson, and you don't think you would be a good salesperson?
No, I absolutely do. No, I absolutely do think of myself as a salesperson, no
okay.
doubt about it. But I do. I've changed a little bit since when I first started. I was a little too. I would not hire me when I first started recruiting as a salesperson.
Okay, you know, Olga, Maureen, you're going off on a tangent. You know, people don't know what she's talking about. Becky,
I know. I'm getting blamed for that a lot lately.
Okay, you're Becky. You're in Gen Y, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you live at home?
At home?
Yeah.
Oh, I live at my home. I don't know.
No, with your parents. Do you live with your parents?
I do not live with my parents, no.
Why not?
Why not? Because I'm married and I have a child.
Really? Geez, don't you think, do you feel out of step with your peers? I'm sorry, I just can't resist. I've got you on the phone. Do you feel out of step? You're supposed to be someone who lives at home till you're 30, taking advantage of your baby boomer parents who really don't know anything about the career world. Are most of your peers living at home?
I wouldn't say most, but some of them are. I think it's really, it's like anything else. You can't really generalize.
You can't. Okay. Are your parents in 12-step programs?
Varying levels.
Well, you said you're in a 12-step program for bullies. You're in a 12-step program for bullies yourself, right? And you're going around. Steve Levy told you to go back and apologize to all the people that you stepped
no,
number,
he
what's
didn't.
That?
Say
step
that.
Number four? Step
no,
number
he
four?
Didn't.
That's what I thought I heard.
No, he said that she needs to get on her high horse a little bit and stay there.
Okay, Becky, you know what? I want to give the last 5 minutes of the show or whatever we've got left to you because, you know, you're a newcomer, and I think you're doing really well here today, and I really appreciate you calling in. And I noticed you on Twitter, et cetera, before. I like your picture. What are the big issues that you think should be being discussed? Now, one of them is bullying, and I appreciate you discuss that. What else is important?
Gosh, I don't know. See,
gosh,
I told you I don't have anything to say. Gosh.
Gosh, what do you guys talk about in the office? Do you talk about anything special?
I just can't think of anything. No, actually, one of the things that's actually been going around a little bit lately on the, I guess, the internet as well as here internally is control, candidate and client control. And we deal with that internally here in terms of hiring manager control. And everybody's getting up in arms about that word. Everybody hates the word control. They really feel like that's not the right word to be using. What we're talking about is a lot of the pieces of the puzzle in terms of communication with your customer or with your client or your candidate. That's
so
the other thing
mean?
That I'm talking
what
about
is,
these days.
What does control mean? What does control mean? You've been someone who relinquished control. Isn't that what you said? You gave up hard power for soft power, right?
Yeah, but I do not think that I gave up control in that situation. Because I'm not controlling. I don't have any I guess delusions that I'm controlling people in what I do. This is a people-based business, and you can't really control it. What you can control is those relationships to a certain degree, where you have an open and honest communication of expectations, where you really can begin to see things fall into place the way that they are intended to, instead of having curveballs that are thrown at you.
Oh, you know what? Hold on. Sorry, I got to interrupt you. There's only 2 minutes left. And we've got some people here that I didn't even see. I wish they would have told me. Martin Snyder, are you here? Says he's here. Area code 201, you want to say hi just before we finish off? Sorry, I've been having problems with the system. That maybe they're there and we can't hear them. Sorry, you know, I'm going to cut you off, Becky, but I hope you come back another time. I want to thank somebody. I got some nice notes while the show was going on, and I was taking so much abuse from friends like Jerry, Steve Levy, resisting, not coming out with what he wants to say. I got an email from Ann Barrio of Ann Barrio and Associates. I don't know where she is, but she said, I enjoyed the show, first-time listener. Well, she didn't listen to the end. Maybe she's still listening. I wanted to know. I appreciate it. Sally Oahu, thank you for Twittering me. Lucy Feliciano in Puerto Rico, resume writer, thank you for your message. Becky, thank you for coming on. You don't have a website. I don't have to read it. Maureen Sheriff, the queen bee of telephone sourcing, namesourcer.com, magicmethod.ning.com. She's got a great show for sourcers, a great chat twice a week. I guess John Sumser's never participated. He doesn't know what people
next
really
Wednesday,
want
Glenn
to know.
Cathy. Next Wednesday, Glenn Cathy, Bullion Black Belt, is going to be on the Talk Sourcing segment at 1
He's
o'clock,
be
right
here
after
on
your
the
show.
Recruiting Animal Show, second part, Talk Sourcing. And do we have anything else to talk about? I don't think so. Thank you, everybody.